From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
God,
good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, this 13th day of April. 9:06 in the morning. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you today. And in the studio with me on Tuesdays, my co-host, Joshua Michaels. So glad to have you here. We've got some stuff to talk about today. And first and foremost, I want to say thanks to Safe Air Network for being a morning show sponsor, safeairnetwork.com. You need to go there to that website, check it out, find out how you can keep your air and your surfaces sanitized and free and combat against all of this craziness going on. And speaking of craziness, looking at the news, interesting. This is hot off the press, friends, and we knew it. We saw it coming. We've been trying to warn people. In fact, I've done blatant, please, friends, do not get the shot or the jab or, you know, the thing in your arm. In fact, one of my friends, she's in the Kansas City area, is just reporting on Facebook that she can't even move her arm. She got it yesterday, the first of two, the Moderna, and she can't even move it, and wanting to know, hey, is anybody else having any other experiences with this? It's been interesting. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this, but off the press, OHA asked the state's vaccine providers to immediately stop administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Oregon Health Authority has asked all of the state's vaccine providers to immediately stop administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine per the announcement from the U.S. CDC and FDA this morning. This is out of an abundance of caution as they review six cases of rare and severe type blood clots in women ages 8 to 48 after vaccination with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They will be sending out more detailed communications shortly.
Boom.
Right.
This is the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is JC just did something, JC Hall, yesterday, and it came up. I should probably pull that audio. But he said Jen Psaki, which is the communications person, right, that for Biden administration.
The communist terrorist.
Yeah, she is saying, oh, we have three approved vaccines. And JC's like, mm-mm. And he went through the FDA information, says it's, the FDA says in highlight, on their website, that this has not been approved. Mm-hmm. And so it's this constant thing. And so, Josh, I've pulled up a couple sound bites, couple things. I want to start with this doctor. And this was sent to me this morning, and I want to share it with her friends because I think it ties really in. And then I want to open up the phone lines today, and I want to talk to people maybe who have had it or know people who have had it and what their responses have been. I think it's that important.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Talk about it.
Yeah, I want to hear direct information mm-hmm. from somebody that you specifically know that's potentially close to you. Give us a call on your experience if you did get the shot and how that went. If you love it, great. If everything's going well, great. If you've had any other instances that you want to talk about, we want to open the phones up for that.
Well, and I've been telling people to document friends that I know. I mean, it's again, we live in a country where I want to support people's freedom to choose to or not to. Just make that straight. But if I have any influence, I certainly wouldn't do it, and I would encourage others not to. But let's listen to this doctor. Let me pull it up on the audio. This is a doctor coming from California early on, and his it's about 2 minutes. Let's look at this.
In virology and immunology, I'm a clinical lab scientist and have tested 1,500 supposed positive COVID-19 samples collected here in Southern California. When my lab team and I did the testing through Koch's postulates and observation under a scanning electron microscope, we found no COVID in any of the 1,500 samples. What we found was that all of the 1,500 samples were mostly influenza A and some were influenza B, but not a single case of COVID, and we did not use the BSPCR test. It's polymerase chain reaction test. Celia Farber does wonderful journalism on the topic. I did videos on this channel for that. We then sent the remainder of the samples to Stanford, Cornell, and a few of the University of California labs, and they found the same results as we did. No COVID. They found influenza A and B. All of us then spoke to the CDC, and asked for viable samples of COVID, which CDC said they could not provide as they did not have any samples. We have now come to the firm conclusion through all our research and lab work that the COVID-19 was imaginary and fictitious. The flu was called COVID, and most of the 225,000 dead were dead through comorbidities such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, emphysema, etc. Then they got the flu, which further weakened their immune systems, and they died. I have yet to find a single viable sample of COVID-19 to work with. We at the 7 universities that did the lab tests on these 1,500 samples are now suing the CDC for COVID-19 fraud. The CDC has yet to send us a single viable, isolated, purified sample of COVID-19. If they can't or won't send us a viable sample, I say there is no COVID-19. It is fictitious. The 4 research papers that do describe the genomic extracts of the COVID-19 virus never were successful in isolating and purifying the samples. All the 4 papers written on COVID-19 only describe small bits of RNA, which were only 37 to 40 base pairs long, which is not a virus. A viral genome is typically 30,000 to 40,000 base pairs. With as bad as COVID is supposed to be all over the place, how come no one in any lab worldwide has ever isolated and purified this virus in its entirety? That's because they never really found the virus. All they've ever found was small pieces of RNA, which were never identified as the virus anyway. So what we're dealing with is just another flu strain. Like every year, COVID-19 does not exist and is fictitious.
Boom.
Oh my goodness. And talk about the right time. Thank you, Amy, for sending that to us this morning. And I do think, Josh, you brought up a valid point about the gentleman who created the test that he referred to. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so he was talking about the PCR test, which tests for the protein. And this is what, you know, I was saying over the summer, when you have all these cases, and then they moved cases to presumptive cases, but they're using a test where the guy that manufactured the test and created the PCR test, he said openly last year, do not use this for COVID. It does not test for COVID. And as that doctor beautifully points out, it tests for the protein of an RNA protein and whether you have it or not. Mm-hmm. But here's kind of the caveat to the whole thing is that the reason that this whole, quote, fake pandemic has moved forward and gone forward and everything else is because of all the financial incentives with big corporations consolidating the economy. They're getting their Green New Deal forcefully with COVID. They are, administing all this financial stuff to hospitals for every, quote, COVID-19 positive case. And there's this whole thing in New York where they were talking about the ventilators, right? And every time they'd put somebody on a ventilator, not only were they improperly setting the regulators on the ventilators, but the hospital was getting paid $56,000 on top of like the $46 to $6,400 for every COVID positive test.
Incredible.
And so there's all this money backing, money incentive behind it. But if you take a 50,000 foot view back and step back and just remember, 2 weeks, stop the spread, wear a mask for 30 days, do this, do that. What has been happening? They've incrementally been consolidating the economy. They've incrementally been breaking the economy
habits.
And breaking our system. They're breaking your habits. You're not to the local
society.
Store anymore. You're not doing this. You're sitting in your home. You're ordering Amazon. You're doing this and just not socializing because socializing sucks now because you got to go out and you're like, hey,
make effort.
Hey, Carl. And you're, wearing a mask or whatever and you don't really want to talk. And then it's weird. And then, if you see somebody in there that's not wearing a mask, like I get looked at all the time. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, you're weird. Mm-hmm. And then they don't want to talk to you. And then there's just like weird classism. So it's a huge, huge operation. where there's tons and tons and tons of beta tests that they've done leading up to this, and then they went operational, and then they launched COVID-19.
Oh, boy. It's an interesting time that we're living in, and I'm concerned about our kids. And I want to play this clip because this was sent to me as well. And I think that they're wanting to make our classrooms and our schools vaccine sites.
Yep.
So I want to play this, too. And this is actually a human rights attorney speaking at an Orange County, California Board of Education meeting, and it plays into what we want to talk to after this break. Here we go. Here she goes.
Lee Dundas, human rights attorney. Late last week, I am informed a meeting occurred between Orange County Health Officer Dr. Clayton Chow and Orange County Board of Education Superintendent Al Maharz, during which time they apparently tried to find a way to, quote, sidestep and entirely remove informed parental consent for the COVID vaccine and also turn Orange County school campuses into vaccination centers. The COVID-19 vaccine is an experimental medical protocol authorized under the Emergency Use Authorization Act, and as such, you cannot mandate it for anyone, nor can you sidestep informed consent. There is a reason that kids cannot smoke, drive, drink, have sex, vote, or die for this country, and it is because the law says they lack the capacity to understand those decisions, and that applies here more than ever. Hear me loud and hear me well. We will not be morphing our school campuses into COVID vaccine centers for delivery of an experimental medical protocol that killed every damned ferret in the last animal study they did until such time they had to abandon that study, and then they didn't even do the study this time around because we are the study. The last time humans launched a plan like this to conduct experimental medical protocols on vulnerable populations was in Joseph Mengele's direction. He was an MD known as the Angel of Death, okay? And he was part of the SS, and in 1943, he was assigned to Auschwitz, where he saw an opportunity to conduct gene research, quote, focused primarily on children with no regard for the health or safety of the victims. This is off the internet. You can Google it. You know what else is gene research? Experimental COVID vaccines with the trans gene inside of it. If you don't believe me, go pull the EUA application for the J&J shot. I come from a long line of Eastern Europeans, Hungarians, and Romanian groups that fled the persecution of the Red Terror communist death squads in the early 1900s, and those of us who didn't make it to America ended up facing the Nazi death squads in the lesser-known Holocaust that was the Romani Holocaust. There is a reason my daughter is named Katia. Her Romani great-grandmother was Caterina Cioma, and I, for one, have not forgotten the lessons of our history. The Third Reich did not end with experiments on children, nor when those children died. The Third Reich ended in 1946 when we put the doctors who committed these human experiments on trial in Nuremberg, and then we put them to death. It ended with the adoption of the Nuremberg Code so we would never repeat the sins of history. And it states, and I quote, the voluntary consent of this human subject is absolutely essential. Dr. Chow and Dr. Maharz, you are hereby on notice. Last week, you appear to have knowingly hatched a plan to sidestep and or violate international, federal, and state law, not just the Nuremberg informed consent language, but also the black letter law of the EUA, as well as California state law, which punishes, and I quote, the willful failure to obtain a subject's informed consent by imprisonment in county jail for 1 year or the imposition of a $50,000 fine or both. Through the planned insertion of experimental gene-altering protocols onto the very children, you were elected and charged with protecting. And tonight we are asking the Board of Education for an immediate letter of censure to these individuals. And if they don't resign, for an immediate notice of termination. And that letter also needs to go to the professional boards because they have no business being in these positions. So help me God, the people of Orange County will hold this policy to account.
Your time is...
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from this break. We're also going to announce a March for Life that's coming up this Saturday. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 9:22 in the morning. It's a beautiful day out there. It's going to be nice and sunny. And a shout out to those of you Like our friends Walt and Jeanette, they're heading on over to the coast, going to do a little whale watching this morning. I'm excited for them. I wish I could just kind of just jump in and go with them out to the coast to watch those beautiful creatures in the ocean. And it's interesting times that we certainly live in, and there's something incredible that is happening. There's some momentum and there's some awareness. And I have had such fun last few weeks joining together with others in a couple different classes. It feels just like I'm in school again, like I'm in college. I've been going to class on Sundays and Wednesday nights and some Friday nights, all learning again, getting aware of our constitutional rights and our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what's interesting, when you read the Constitution, even in the preamble beforehand, it's not only just for us, but for our posterity, our future generations. And when you think about standing for our constitutional rights and our families' rights, it's also for the future generations and the unborn. And no more violation in my mind than the most vulnerable, those that are not born yet. And it's so important, friends, that we do our part and we stand for all life, from conception to natural death. And I'm so excited to bring on the line with me today our friend Lois Anderson. Good morning, Lois. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Enjoying the sunshine.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you do a check-in with us this morning. We've got something fun coming up this weekend. Talk to us a little bit and invite our listeners to participate.
Well, I'm tempted to go into the TV sales mode, because this is a one-time only offer. March for Life in beautiful 70-degree weather.
Yay!
We rescheduled our March for Life, which we usually hold in January, of course, in alignment with the Roe v. Wade decision, the tragic Roe v. Wade decision that came down in January of 1973. But for a variety of reasons, we postponed it, and now we're having our Oregon March for Life this Saturday, April 17th. The music starts at 2:15, the speeches start at 2:30, and we're really excited. We hope that people will come down and join us for this event.
Well, I think the timing is absolutely perfect and beautiful, and I'm looking forward to celebrating with Oregonians all across the state coming here on Saturday. And again, the weather's going to be absolutely perfect. Where can people find more information about what's planned?
They can go to our website, ortl.org/march, or you can just Google or your other favorite search engine, Oregon Right to Life. Or Oregon March for Life, and you can get all the information, maps, where to park. I do want to mention, because I didn't before, that it is going to be in front of the Capitol, and on the Capitol Mall. The street will be closed, and we'll have a great time there.
Excellent, excellent. I know a year ago, it was my first event in Oregon when I first got here, and I wore my pro-life gear. And so you want to wear your pro-life gear and bring your friends, bring a carload of people, bring your family. It's a celebration in a sense that we're all standing together, but we're also in remembrance of the horrors of abortion that continue not only in our state, but across the nation. And certainly at a time such as this, we need to be seen and we need to be heard, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's very important for us to stand together and resolve to stand up every year and more until the injustice of abortion is removed from our country and our state.
Now, my last recollection, it's been over 66 million lives lost since the legalization of Roe. Is that correct?
Well, there are a variety of different ways to count them. We go with the National Right to Life count, which is just over 63 million. But it's mind-boggling, honestly, to think about how many lives, how many generations have been impacted from this decision.
Yes, and it's time to stand, it's time to be seen, and what a great opportunity this Saturday. 2:15, you said the music starts, 2:30 is the actual event, and I look forward to seeing everybody there. I plan to be there. Thank you, Lois, for giving us a call.
See you Saturday.
All right, have a wonderful day. And Josh, you know, the interesting thing about this is here in Oregon, there is absolutely, as we talk about children in the schools, and we talk about vaccination, and we talk about informed consent, right? And really mm-hmm. understanding, and that's the big discussion about this vaccination. They call it a vaccine, which we know it's not, that there truly isn't informed, that there's no accurate information on any of it. And I'm curious, and we talked about this early on, if any of our listeners are listening right now, and you want to call in and give us your report on
I want to hear your vaccine mm-hmm. story.
Your story or someone
was it good?
Close to you.
Was it bad?
Yes.
Do you love it? Are you going to get another one? Are you going to get 10? Are you going to get 15?
Yeah,
do you absolutely
do it,
love
like
it?
Like the flu shot every
I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
If you've had a bad experience, yeah.
Let us know. 503-589-1220. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Josh, it is all about life. What we're doing here, telling, giving information, giving the facts, because we want to guard our pursuit, our lives, our pursuit of happiness, and make sure people have full, abundant life and healthy lives.
Yep.
And I'm frustrated by the attempt, the narrative, to continue to have chaos and confusion and not the facts. They're blocking the facts. Real tech continues to block the facts. And anytime it's truth-filled, they say you can't share it on Facebook, you can't put it on Instagram, you can't do any of that. So people are looking for good places to go, and we want to maintain here at this radio station, this is a safe place to come and get the facts, and then you decide for yourself. You mm-hmm. wrestle through the information, the links that we give you, the sources, and you go find out for yourself, right?
Yeah, people should be getting behind this radio station right now, donating, mm-hmm. call, get involved, mm-hmm. Do anything and everything that you can. This will be, whether you know it or not, this will be one of the shining lights mm-hmm. in the darkness to come of what's coming in the future.
It's the clarion call to action, and we are sounding the alarm, we are blowing the shofar, we are saying, come on, we got to do something. We're empowering you with news that you can use so we can go out and change our culture with the facts. We're continuing the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back.
Good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Glad to be hanging out with you on this terrific Tuesday, friends. I'm Stacey Ann along with Josh. We're hanging out with you today, and I want to say thanks to the best of the Willamette Valley and their voting that they have going on right now for being a morning show sponsor. In fact, you can go to the best of the Willamette Valley at votebowv.com for their voting and your best business right now. And the cool thing is that this is brought to us and presented by Rick's Custom Fencing and Decking. And it's been really fun to watch, friends, on social media, you promoting your businesses and say, vote for me, vote for me. And I haven't quite figured out, I need to go on there and figure out how to do the KSLM one. But you can actually vote for your favorite radio station as well. And we are located under the Things to Do tab. So go to votebowv.com. So it's votebestofwillamettevalley.com, and you can vote for your favorites each and every day up through the 23rd of April. And then this Thursday, again, we're going to feature more Best of the Willamette Valley businesses. Looking forward to that as well. We're continuing the conversation, and Josh, here's something too. You know, we haven't had anybody call in yet, and I want to encourage people, if you have a story, if you know someone, you had a family member last week, Josh, that had the vaccination or the shot, the jab,
mm-hmm.
and he was having some medical issues. Can you give us an update on the progress of that person that you knew?
Well, he's better now. He's back in Oregon. Basically, his heart rate went up to 244 beats per minute, and they think it might have been a blood clot. I don't know if he got the J&J shot.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that's the symptom of why they're pulling it everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's only a matter of time till the other vaccinations. They pulled AstraZeneca. They're pulling J&J. Next is going to be Pfizer and then the Moderna. You guys got to realize this is not a vaccine. It's not going to protect you. It's not what it's made for. Doesn't have the proper trials or the proper channels to get approved by the FDA, and they're literally telling you and literally experimenting on you.
Well, and I want to share this with you, openveyors.com. And according to my friend Brianna, which I'll read, openveyors.com, go there. And right now it is saying that there has been 56,869 COVID vaccine adverse event reports. Now, when you go to my friend, let me look this up here, Brianna, she shared, when I shared this, I like, what can you tell me? Because she works with the medical freedom folks. And so there, that's the frontline doctors and a lot of the folks that are working on behind the scenes to kind of expose what's going on. This is what she said. She said, VAERS is not voluntary for the CV shots. Under EUA law, it's mandatory for doctors and hospitals to report adverse reactions to VAERS. They were actually abiding by the law at first, not so much now. The vaccines are being given to 204 million people per day, yet we're supposed to believe that the reaction, these reactions and these spikes are only 56, you know. So she just gives some insight there that, yes, that is the right place that they're to be reporting, but everybody's suspect that if it's actually happening or not. And so,
well, I think there's might be a typo on that, the 200 million per day.
Yeah, that sounds a little high.
That I don't even think that's, they could vaccinate the whole planet in, you know,
yeah,
4 weeks.
Yeah, if that's the case. Yeah, it sounds a little crazy that there's so many vaccinations going on. And so this VAERS has been set up for 31 years as of January 11, 2021. That's how long. And this is so when, so the kinds of vaccine reports are like when you give children a vaccination and they have some adverse reaction right there in the office. These, the medical reports are supposed to happen. And so I'm going to tell you where it's at again, openveyors.com, and you go and look at the information yourself. It's really quite, very compelling to look at all of this, and I'm just a little bit in awe of all of these incidences that are going underreported. Now, last week we shared a little bit about Oregon Health Authority and their lack of, when asked by a reporter, being transparent of those who had the vaccine getting COVID. And then they came out with the number. And it's interesting that they're not volunteering. It has to be poked and prodded to get this information, because I'm suspect that some of the variants and some of the things that are happening, what I'm finding is the people that have been wearing masks all this time and the people that are getting the shot or the jab are actually now getting COVID, and they're actually having issues, and it's very troubling to me.
Well, just wait till the next fall and next winter when people start getting massive illnesses, and they're going to say it's a different strain or a new strain of COVID, you know, and then it's going to be from the vaccine or from the shot that people are getting. It literally is hurting your immune system.
Well, and healthy people getting a shot of a dose of these things that would have never been introduced to them is troubling to me.
The same guy that says he wants to depopulate the planet is the same guy that's administering over all the medicalization that's going on in the whole country. The same guy that says we need to lower the population. We want to lower the population. You could look it up. His name is Bill Gates.
Oh.
And guess what about Bill Gates? His dad was the head of Planned Parenthood.
Eugenics.
They were the ones that engineered all this eugenics. They want to depopulate the planet, and they're using this whole medicalization of this system to do it. And look up all the videos of Bill Gates talking about how he wants to literally depopulate and lower population because it's out of control.
Well, I don't want to make your laptop there get a virus or something, but if you Google, by using Google, the most well-known doctor in the world, or the most influential doctor in the world, a friend of mine had me do this, and when I Googled it, it said Bill Gates. I didn't know Bill Gates was a doctor.
He's not a doctor.
Why would it say that on Google?
Because Google is evil. Google is misinformation. Google is not
part
a search engine anymore.
Nope.
They broke their algorithm 5 years ago. There was this huge outcry. Do this, folks. go to duckduckgo.com, type in whatever you want, go to google.com, type in whatever you want, you're going to get completely different answers. You're going to get completely different information. Things that aren't in, it's like a polar opposite. Google is now CNN versus, I would say, you know, nomorefakenews.com or nationalfile.com or something. I wouldn't even say Fox. What's the overall metaphor in, you know, our kids' cartoons, our kids' fairy stories and everything else? Who was the bad guy in the story? Mm-hmm. It was a fox, right?
Slides
not
a
saying,
fox.
Not saying fox is all bad, but essentially they're controlled opposition. Mm. They're never going to tell you the truth. They're never going to tell you about the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of illegals crossing the border and being shuttled in the across the border right now in Texas and Arizona.
South Carolina.
And South Carolina. And there's an epidemic going on with the border crisis in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And people sneaking in from Canada. Because what does Joe Biden say? He says, hey, everybody come here. When I'm elected, surge the border.
Mm-hmm.
Surge the border. Now he's like, I didn't say that. There's a huge crisis going on down at the border right now. Nobody's talking about it. That's why you're having, I think, anytime there's any type of political coverage getting happening and the media is being forced to cover real topics and real issues, what happens? A questionable black guy gets shot somewhere. The society collapses. They get us all dividing with each other again. And then, you know, there was a school shooting yesterday. Coincidence? I don't know. I feel like I'm in Obama's era again.
Yeah, and it was interesting because in that season of the under the Trump administration, you never heard of these things. Yes, we heard the riots and things like that towards the end, but we never heard. It was not like that. And it's like, it does remind me of Obama 2.0 in a sense. Now, here's something that's interesting. And one of the things I really want to encourage, especially those of you in the nonprofit organizations that are tempted by the big money of the big tech, right? There are the Media Research Center and more than 30 conservative organizations have signed a pledge to reject big tech money. This is a good thing because Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Apple, and others are trying to infiltrate Christian conservative organizations with the almighty dollar. We'll help you fund these special projects, you know, and when you're struggling like we have been, many organizations have been struggling. It's tempting to want to take those that grant money that we never have to pay back, but has strings attached that you can't see right now.
Well, let's elaborate on that. So that sounds great. What do you think has happened to the medical industry in the past 60 years?
Yep.
Who do you think has been funding and not funding certain projects and certain aspects of research?
Yes.
It's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation tied in with, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but they are the ones they are the ones that have been funding. It's like the cell phone industry. I don't know if you remember like the cell phone industry and the effects of cell phone radiation. There was a test. It came out. It was like 6 or 7 years ago. There was all this stuff associated around cell phone radiation and then the smart meters on homes with the houses and stuff like that. They choose the research that they want to release and they choose the research that they want to fund. Now tie that in with 50, 60 years of information. Why are we, as we're quote evolving, why are we evolving yet we're even more sick than we've ever been?
Right.
People are unhappy, they're unhealthy in every way. Malnutrition's through the roof, obesity's through the roof, sickness is everything. Everybody's on some type of psychotropic drug, something somewhere, and we're sicker than we've ever been. So how are we evolving? It sounds like we're de-evolving. It's because people like Bill Gates, and I'm only specifying Bill Gates, he is only one microcosm of the problem. However, you got this stream of doctors. Say you have 10 doctors that want to do research. They choose which doctors they want to fund. They're able to push that. All the other research of, hey, maybe the adverse effects of this COVID-19 shot, we want to research that. Oh, no, we're not going to fund that. Or go ahead, but you know, you're privy to our non-disclosures and we'll bury you if you try to go public. And there are some doctors that have gone public and they have been buried publicly and everything else. So It's a control of information. Next thing you know, you have textbooks coming out throughout the years. Then you have these kids growing up in these textbooks believing that climate change is real and believing that this stuff. And so it just, it's a long-term indoctrination program, you know, which was interesting about that video you played earlier with the lady who was talking about, you know, we jailed, imprisoned all the Nazis and everything else. No, we didn't. We hired 36,000 plus that we know of called Operation Paperclip. We hired them, all the top scientists. We brought them to the United States. Immediately following that, they then began, if you look at history, they then began to socialize systems and industries in the United States, like the Department of Education. It was centralized, I think, in 1956. Centralized of education, that's exactly what, you know, Hitler did in the Nazis.
Is that about the time, too, they took prayer out of schools? Who knows? It's all related and regulated, and we got to get the information out. We got to stick together and get to the facts, man, right? Come on, man.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you today. It's 9:50 in the morning, 54 degrees at the KSLM studio. Going to be a great day. In fact, getting up to 64 today, and by the weekend, 80 degrees. Yes, you'll be breaking out the sunscreen and the shorts.
I'm going to break out my boat.
And your boat? I didn't even know you had a boat. Oh my goodness. That's awesome. You can go do some little fishing, right? Some fishing therapy and all of that good stuff. I want to go on a motorcycle ride in the worst way. And the interesting thing, this is a busy time right now in the sales of motorcycles. So the opportunity of getting to ride with Terry is pretty limited unless he gets a day off here and there. I wanted to share a little bit of community calendar things. Of course, we talked about on Saturday at 2:30 is going to be the March for Life at the Capitol. Now, tomorrow night is Liberty First University. And even though you haven't been attending, friends, I encourage you to come out to Liberty First University. At 7 o'clock is when the class actually starts. But I'm going to do a little mini training before that at 6 p.m. on how to be a good advocate, how to talk to your elected leaders, whether it be the school board, your commission, your county, you know, your council, your Salem City Council, all the way up to your House of Representatives and your state senators, and how to do it in an effective way. And I think that's a lot of times, Josh, people are a little concerned about how do you approach your elected leaders, you know, because we're right now, we've got a lot of angst, a lot of frustration, and we need to do it in a way that is still honorable, that they hear us, and we need to not do it because we think that they're not going to listen. We still need to do it, and we need to do it in big groups, right, to affect change. Now, here's an incident where I think we can get on right now, right in the present. There was something that just really bothered me, and this is featured in the Northwest Observer. NorthwestObserver.com does a wonderful job kind of taking area news stories and statewide news stories and putting them out there so we can be advocates and we can get engaged. And they there was a tweet that I'm not on Twitter, but it was a Facebook post. So obviously she's using all of her social media that I believe was out of bounds. And this is what it was. She posted about on her Oregon Secretary of State page. So that's our Oregon government page, right? She posted on that page about the incident that happened with the unarmed black man being shot by the police officer. That incident, she put that out there, and she said, "My heart aches for Dante Wright, his 2-year-old daughter, and his family. Mr. Wright's death happened just a short distance away from the spot where George Floyd was killed a year ago. Next month, a traffic stop, blah, 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 right? Black Lives Matter," on the Oregon Secretary of State page. Well, it's sad because that's public. That's our public government page. There is no, on her private page, on her campaign page, her own opinion page, she has the freedom to do that. But it's like a
misuse.
No,
she doesn't. She has the freedom to use it.
She has the freedom to use the state site.
Yeah, absolutely. She is. Isn't she?
Well, she is.
And so...
So what can we do about
exactly.
it?
Exactly. What are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it?
And really, I mean, yeah, we can talk about this. I think it's a distraction. I think she posted that on you there to bait people like you and people like Northwest Observer to talk about it because it's irrelevant. Yeah, you want to talk about it? Great. Good job. But it gets people talking about things that don't matter, right? Not that that doesn't matter, but it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. It's a distraction from the crisis at the border. It's a distraction from the vaccines that they're pulling right now. It's a distraction from real issues and real things that are affecting people and everybody right now. And they get people talking about it. They get people infighting. Mm-hmm. You can do this black versus white nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. People don't naturally want to hate each other.
No.
People don't naturally want to despise each other, but they're creating all this infighting and all this controversy to get everybody distracted from the real issues that are affecting real people right now. The real issues, such as them pulling this vaccine, that is huge news. But is anybody talking about it? Not really. They're mentioning it a little bit. You know, everybody's talking about the shooting and everybody's talking about the George Floyd court hearing. Who cares about all that stuff? The most important thing is people's health, their securities, their liberties, and protecting those. And those are under attack in droves right now. More importantly, the crisis at the border going on where they're literally shuttling people right now. You can go look at videos right now. They are shuttling people, no passport, no identification, giving them money and sending them off anywhere in the country. And then they just disappear.
Chaos.
Then there's people that own restaurants and different corporations and companies. There was a guy from Pennsylvania. He was down there. He was interviewed. He is there looking for illegals that he can ship to his place in Pennsylvania to open restaurants and basically put them in these slave camps to where they work for nothing.
Unbelievable.
It's a huge crisis. Nobody's really talking about it. The J&J thing is huge. I think it's only a matter of time till the other vaccines come. I'm glad it's falling apart. That means people are standing up. People are starting to realize this. Realize it's been over a year. Nothing is going to get better until we decide to get better. And I, you know, I'm sorry, but that is a distraction to
me. Well, and it just shows you how they're using every tool to become a distraction.
Exactly.
And friends, and how
and
we can pivot in a way that this, here's something that we can do. And we need a, we need training ground on how do we stand up and how can we do, what can we do? We need to all write an ethics violation, and we need to get, because if we can get Shamia Fagan recalled and out of there and get some good people in there, that is something that we can do. But again, don't be fooled by the distraction. This is one element of something that we can do. And there's, we got to stay alert, we got to stay aware, and we've got a few phone callers lined up, Josh, and here we've been talking away, not paying attention, and we only got a few minutes left. So I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you talk real quick. You've got 30 seconds, and this is Art. Art, you've been waiting a long time. Sorry, go.
Only 30 seconds. Well, I agree with a lot of the stuff you guys are saying. Number one, I would like to see some of the people who have had the COVID-19 supposedly here in the state tested just like those ones in California was, so that we could further the narrative concerning this. I know my son and a bunch of his friends supposedly had the COVID, and they all got over it, and we definitely need to further investigate this. We all know that people, especially elderly people, die of the flu. And if all these positive cases were the influenza, and, you know, they're saying that, oh, well, there was no flu this season. Well, I think it was a lie, too.
Yeah, and that was proven in that video that we played in the very first segment. Thank you, Art. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Well, yeah, did you see Antifa set a big fire on the ICE building a couple days ago?
In Portland, we're not hearing about that either.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that. How is that not an insurgency? How is that not a riot? Why is nobody talking about that? That's a legit riot.
Right, because that's something that is endorsed by our governor. All right, on the line, we got just a few seconds left. Hello, Pat. Thank you for calling in today.
Hi, I've got a petition or something from Rand Paul, and I want to find out if it's really legit or not. It's concerning getting petitions to send to Congress for, it's called, to pass a Life at Conception Act.
Do you know anything about it? I don't know, but we'll do some research on that. I'll visit with you and maybe get a little more information. We'll do some research on that. Thank you, Pat. Have a great day. Thank you for calling. So as we're wrapping up today, Josh, we've talked a lot about how we can get engaged and how we can stand strong. We are sounding the clarion call, aren't we, right here at the radio station?
Yep.
And we need to do our part. We need to tell our friends to tune in. You can tune in each and every day and then grab the podcast of this show off of the website at kslm.news. Thank you, Josh, for sharing your Tuesday morning with us.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
You have a great day.
See you later.
All right. We're going to continue the conversation tomorrow morning. In fact, kind of excited. I'm going to be at LC School District, and we're going to talk to some of the students there and the athletes and as they get the schools back open and what they're doing to stand strong. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. God bless you, and God bless the USA.